The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
What's coming up on today's experience? Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but each sound effect can have a positive impact on people. Wow. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, most news intends to have a negative impact on people. That's what keeps people coming back. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because we desire to have the impact of helping people get one step closer to the Lord. That's our goal for you and for us. Also, by the way, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy right there. Here's a question for you. What impacts you the most for the Lord? What impacts you the most for the Lord? That's our question. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish our intro. We got a caller. We're going to bring him in after we're done with the introduction. I want you to be aware of what I'm asking you, though. What is it that impacts you the most for the Lord? If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We want you to reach out to us and give us a call. You just call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, that's like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
It's almost the weekend.
Almost
time for that.
We're so close. Anyway, you can also text us, by the way, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming up right now.
214-210-8483.
Well, that's kind of like a monsterish voice right there. Anyway, you can also send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. Then when we come back, we're going to take our caller, but let's just follow up what's going on the website. There is a response to the attacks on Israel on the website, a couple of other things on there, a lot of encouraging material, articles, audio, video, every other form, you know, it's just an opportunity to be encouraged in the Lord, because that is what we live for. Hebrews 10:25, we're encouraging one another all the time, all the time, encouraging one another as we see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer, lifting each other up, blessing each other, encouraging each other, and pushing one another towards the Lord. That's just a good idea in general. So we're also going to ask you on the website, if you can partner with us, hey, break it out and partner. Now, I don't typically do this, but I'll do this one time. Ready? Ready? Reach down into your pocket and pull out the green that does make this. Okay, see, what I really need is some giving. So on the website is an opportunity. Poor Jacob's like, what was that? Opportunity to give. It's on the donate button. Check it out. Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org. Org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Don't you love live radio? Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it's always fun.
All right, we have somebody on hold. Let's send him on through. Go ahead and send him through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Sergio.
Hey, Sergio. How are you, my wonderful brother?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing as good as I can do in lieu of 30 different things that are going on. But I'm doing great because I'm still every day spending time with the Lord, and he is every day confirming and affirming his love and his commitment to me. So it is unstoppable if we stand in that. I can tell you that right now. What's happening with you, bro?
Well, I've got a really, really dumb question, and forgive me if I sound really dumb on this, but I told you last time I spoke that I was going to start the Old Testament, so I'm in Genesis now, right?
Right.
And so my question is, and don't think that I'm doing this off memory because the Bible is right in front of me. So in Genesis 1:3-20, that's when Adam names Eve Eve, right?
Okay.
But for the life of me, I can't see where the origin of Adam's name came. Am I missing that?
I don't know that you're missing that. I think it's understandable to. And so, what portion are you in? Let me just double check. I'm going to do it with you, brother, because that's the commitment. This is the kind of thing we should do with one another. When somebody has a question about the Bible and you're trying to figure it out, you just want to look at it. Now, I did warn you last time, when you get into Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, Genesis 2 actually goes backwards. People don't realize that, and that's why I kind of warned you about that. So we go through this whole thing. The word man is the word actually Adam in the Greek. Or in the Hebrew. So that's where the word man or Adam comes from. So in 1:26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. Man is the Hebrew Adam or Adam. So that's where that comes from.
Okay.
So that'll help you. And then when you get into chapter 2, remember, Adam and Eve are created, right? Then you get into chapter 2, and then God's like, okay, this guy needs a helpmate. And then he pulls out of Adam the rib. That's the classic joke when Adam said, well, what can I get for a rib? And anyway, the idea behind that is the bottom line behind that is it goes backwards so that you go like the other direction so that you're seeing what took place somewhere between the process of Eve coming around. So it's a really important element to understand that Scripture doesn't always move simply forward. That's true in the book of Revelation too. Sometimes it moves forward, backwards, forwards, backwards. That starts off by example in Genesis, so that should tell everybody kind of how that works. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. That definitely helps me because I don't know Hebrew.
So there you go. That's okay. You can still call him man or Adam. That's fine if you're comfortable. You don't want to call him late for dinner, but that's what you can call him.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much, David. I'll be calling in again, or I'll even email you with some other questions. But hey, man, I know it's been a hard week for all of us, and I think you just by pressing forward and by being who you are has really helped me personally to just put my head around what's going on around the world. But keep doing what you're doing, man, and have a great week.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Likewise.
All right. Excellent job from our bro. We love our bro. Sergio's awesome. And I'm telling you, this kid, he's going in ministry. He just doesn't know it. So what's really funny about that is it's good to ask questions. You might not like every answer, right? And so even later today in the other hour of the show, I'm going to do a kind of a sidebar on my message yesterday because I hurt a couple people's feelings. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I think you guys know. But I'm going to do a little sidebar on there because there was one thing I said. I said it really fast, and I think some people missed it. So I'm going to go back and make sure that I explain it a little more clearly because ultimately our goal here is not – we're not trying to do anything anywhere but to help people get closer to the Lord. Okay, that's our goal. And so we're functioning out of that goal, and sometimes I don't do that perfectly. I don't know if you noticed this. But we don't do perfect radio. Have you noticed that yet, Jacob? We don't do perfect radio, do we?
No. I haven't been perfect so far this show.
There you go.
And we're about 10 minutes in.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys just got to get used to this. This is part of life, right? I mean, don't tell me you never woke up and we're so, like, kind of out of it that you didn't accidentally step on something or bumped into something. That's called living. Do you understand by that? That's okay. It's okay to live. That's what I want you to know there. All right, the other thing that I really want you to understand is, and we're going to get into this text, and it's just lights out fantastic, and I'll never get through the whole thing. The other thing that I want you to understand is I'm asking you for prayer because we are asking for prayer for protection for my family and so on and so forth. There's a lot of angst out there against Jewish people. I don't know if you know that or not, but I happen to be Jewish. How much Jewish are you, Dave? 136%. And you think, how can you be 136%? Because 100% doesn't give me any retail or wholesale to operate with. That just proves I'm Jewish. All right, so 136%. So my point is, be in prayer for all of us. We would appreciate that for safety. And additionally, be in prayer for our country. And then additionally, we're going to pray for Israel. So let's do that now because that's a good thing. And then we'll get into this teach. And I'm telling you right now, if I can get through this first little segment on the teach, we are going to be just doing phenomenal. But let's remember this. Psalm 122 and verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. So take your faith, join it with mine. Let's bring it before the Lord. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people petitioning the Lord for safety and for peace. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now and lift our faith with everybody else's faith around the world. And we just, first, we thank our God. Thank you. Oh, we don't get everything. We act like we know everything that's going on. It's so cute on our end, isn't it, Lord? You're so patient with us. You're so kind. You just love us even though we do what we do. And, Lord, in that love, we're asking you to have compassion and grace and mercy on Israel as a country. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that there would be peace and there would be a grace that enters. We pray that you, the knowledge of you, the truth of you, could be manifest in the state of Israel and in the people connected to this whole thing. We pray for salvations by the tons. We pray for deliverance. We pray for protection. We pray for healing. We pray for mercy and grace. Lord, if you didn't interfere, we'd been blown up 20 times over. You rule in the affairs of men. Help in this situation as we ask you for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, Jerusalem, and may they prosper who love you, Lord God Almighty. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, now. Oh, so much to cover. Don't forget, if you are in San Diego, you can answer a trivia question. If you are in Dallas, you can answer a trivia question. I'll drop the first question in it, give you a chance to respond. Then we'll get into the text. Here's your question. What animal spoke to the prophet Balaam? What animal spoke to the prophet Balaam? Was it a donkey, a goat, or a sheep? What animal? If you think you know the answer. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Nothing wrong with that. That's 214-210-8483. You can also send an email, David, at hemusincrease.org. Greece.org. Listen to the question. It's not complex. What animal spoke to the prophet Balaam? Was it a donkey, a goat, or a sheep? We do have somebody ready to answer via telephone. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Lady Day again.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay. I'm glad that you're doing great. And I know you're going to know this answer. I just, in my heart, I know you got this. You ready? All right. Here we go. What animal spoke to the prophet Balaam? Was it a donkey, a goat, or a sheep?
It was the donkey.
That is correct, Amanda! It was the donkey. Now, I'm not going to go into the deep, deep, deep weeds on this, but I do want to say if the Lord used a donkey to rebuke a prophet, doesn't that just kind of clear the field for all? Isn't it just like, uh-oh.
Yeah,
does that bring humility amongst all mankind? Okay, I used a donkey to rebuke this prophet, so you better be careful because I might rebuke you for something else.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent job. Excellent, excellent job. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, so great. Okay, into the text we go. Obviously, I'm not going to get to the whole thing, but then again, yeah, this is new for Jacob. He's still learning this, how we get halfway in and then go, well, that's all I can do. All right, here we go. This one point is the best point. I don't know if I can get past this point. I might not even try just because it's so worth the discussion. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. Now, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. And I'm going to say this in the nicest possible way. As Paul is going through and correcting the church at Corinth and making sure that they get it together, and remember, he just talked about spiritual warfare. He talked about, you know, different kind of arguments landing in our minds, landing in our brains, and how we need to cast down imaginations and strongholds. We need to demolish them. We need to tear up assumptions that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And then he goes, we got to be ready to punish every act of disobedience as soon as your obedience is complete. And then the very first thing he mentions is verse 7. And he doesn't mention this in a positive way. He says, you are looking at the outward appearances. Now, it's not as though Paul calls them some kind of name when he says that. He's just reproving. Actually, to rebuke is more forceful than to reprove. And to reprove is, you know, it's like a mild rebuke. And he's reproving them. He goes, you guys in the church there at Corinth, you guys, you are looking at the outward appearance. So let me say something about this. Because most people would say, well, how else am I supposed to look at it? Excellent. Actually, that's an excellent question. And if you didn't ask that, it's okay to ask questions like that. But let me explain to you that the Lord tries to teach us that we walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that mean? That means that everything you observe with your eyes in the natural does not display everything that is. The natural is a part of things, but it's not the only part of things. And when we look at the outward of a person, we are looking at a part of the person, but not the whole of the person. And so in 1 Samuel 16, which most of you know very well, this is when Samuel goes and he's, you know, Saul has kind of blown it. Now they're going to anoint a new king and it's going to be David. And then Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. He's at the house of Jesse and he's like, okay, have your kids come by and pass by me. That's what he did. That's what he wanted him to do. And so in verse 5, after he tells Jesse he's there peaceably, he says, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord, sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice. He consecrates Jesse and his sons and invites them to the sacrifice. So it was when we came, he looked at Eliab and surely he said, this is the Lord, the Lord's anointed. Certainly, this is the anointed of God. Listen to me. Verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So what do we know from that? We'll get that call in a split second. What do we know from that? What we know is that when God looks at a person, he doesn't look at the outward visage. He looks also at the heart. He starts on the inward and moves outward, in other words. So some people are thinking, oh, you know, I see it. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. First of all, your situations are this what it looks like. And it often turns out it's nothing like that. And you know that's true. And it's a dangerous trap for Christians to see things from the outside and not look at the inside. When God is examining a person, he doesn't just look at the outside. He looks at the entire person, and he starts with the inside. This is why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, if you have this in your heart, you're guilty. Because it starts with the inward. If you have murder in your heart, you're guilty. If you have adultery in your heart, you're guilty. Because God looks at the whole person. We are famous for just looking at the out. That's why we have so many goofball superstars that we think are brilliant until they do something absolutely insane and stupid. And then we're like, oh, they're not so cool after all. Like, really? They weren't cool to begin with, but we were just looking at the outside. So how could we know? And so this is a challenge to the church. Don't do this. It's a very nice, I'm being nice about how I'm saying it. Don't look at just the outside. Hey, here's a thought. Don't just look at the outside of the person. Hey, wait, here's another thought. Don't just look at the outside of your situation. How often have we learned in Scripture, in the walk with the Lord, there are many times that what it looks like, it is not. Least of all, the last 2 years that we've spent in Job going, not even close. not even on the plane. Not even in the ballpark. Get it? All right. What we'll do is we'll hold for a second here, and we have a person who's on hold. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, turn your radio down. What's going on, bro?
Hi. Just want to ask you to pray for me to God give us a wisdom what to do with this car, because it's a lot of money to repair. Is that worth it? So I need a little prayer that God will give me wisdom what to do.
All right, let's do it. Let's pray. Sure. Let's bring it before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now. We love you, Lord, and you tell us and you teach us to pray, and when we ask for wisdom, you'll give it to us without finding fault. So you're not looking at us and ripping us to shreds, Lord. You're looking at us and you're dealing graciously with us. And so we ask you, and so that Samson doesn't take on any that guilt sense, let him just simply find the wisdom that comes from you. We're asking with him, in agreement with him, that you will make it plain as to what he should do and how he should take the next proper steps. Because, Lord, he can't see the situation the way you do. So please guide and direct him and fill his heart and mind with peace as well as his family with peace, that they have confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right,
thank
brother.
You. Yeah. Earlier I was encouraged by your statement that God could talk, even talk through the Democrats. So I said, okay, that's good.
Brother, the Lord loves you. Never forget that. Okay?
Thank you so very much for the prayer, and sorry about this quirky joke.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Love you all.
Bye-bye. All right, so going back to that, so be a prayer for Samson. He needs prayer. Now, I want you to go back to this, and this is even using that or any situation like that. Listen, not everything is the way it seems. I'm just saying that in the nicest possible way. So you would not think that there would be, I'm not going to say that. Yeah, okay, I'll say it. So you would not think there'd be any real, that much blowover in the United States with the whole thing that's going on with Israel and Hamas, except for being a Jewish Christian talk show host, I've been told to be on alert, high alert. It's like, huh, interesting. You'd think that wouldn't, so what's going on? Well, it's probably much more than we see. But then again, you don't walk. For listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power, love, and a sound mind, which means God has granted us through himself the ability to think things through and make great decisions based on his influence and not just our eyes. So I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to do something that's hard for me to do. It's going to be hard for you to do. I'm just challenging because it's fun to challenge one another and try and draw closer to the Lord. The next time you're in a circumstance or a situation and you observe it, just add this prayer. Lord, let me see past the outside of things. Remember what happened with Elijah's servant when he saw past the outside? There was a whole army fighting for them. Wow. That's what we need, that kind of sight. All right. If you're in San Diego, we love you. You can keep listening to the show. We spent a lot of time in San Diego. You just go to HeMustIncrease.org and click on the Listen Live button. If you're in Dallas, you just hang out. We're going to come back after we take a short break. God bless. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them, and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see? What? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle.